Long, long passage, but you had to get the whole story, right? You had to get it so that I can put it into context for you. So who is Isaac? Abraham's son. So we keep the line going as we're preaching through this passage, actually in Hebrews, which is our hall of faith. So we've gone through the different generations. We did Abraham last time. Now we're talking about Isaac. Isaac is the one that God says will be the one through whom the promise, the covenant he made with Abraham will be lived out. Isaac is near death, and he's about to pass on his blessing to his firstborn, as was traditional. It was interestingly also traditional to bless the other children, but in this case, we know that Isaac is seeking to bless Esau. Esau and Isaac, for those of you who don't know the story all the way through, Esau and Isaac were twins. Esau was born first, and in Genesis 25, Rebekah is experiencing some pretty difficult kicking in her womb. It's kind of tough. I don't know if any of you women can relate. I had one son who kicked me so hard I had to leave a concert I went to. He didn't like that kind of music. He still doesn't. But she is complaining. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. Esau in Hebrew means hairy. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So apparently in this family tradition, they had children pretty darn late. Not quite as late as Abraham and Sarah, but late. The unusual message is given to Rebekah is saying that the younger is going to lead the older. That's not the norm during this time. The oldest was the one always to inherit and expected to carry on the line of the family. Later in the same chapter, this is chapter 25 of Genesis, Esau was really hungry. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Sounds like sons I have. That is why he was also called Edom, because he was hungry. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? I love the drama. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. So what this meant, the birthright part, is that Jacob would inherit all of his father's lands and possessions. This is not something that Isaac could later change his mind. This was the way it went. You had rights when you were born, and only you could give those rights away. This blessing in the passage that Ken read is not about material possessions. It was believed to hold real power to bring blessings upon the one being blessed. Once spoken, you couldn't take it back. So in our story, Rebekah, who's the boy's mother, plays favorites and gets Jacob to receive the blessing Isaac had intended for Esau. And when he finds out he's been tricked, can't take back the words. He gives Esau a different blessing. Jacob's name means trickster in Hebrew. He truly lives up to it. So I came across a story that I thought I'd share with you. And some of you may have heard it. If you've heard it, shh. The story is told about the church leader whose property adjoined a golf course. One Sunday morning, Shockingly, he decided to skip church and to take in some golf. I don't know anybody who ever skips church, do you? He slipped over the fence, didn't even pay for the golf, slipped over the fence onto the fairway by the third hole and began to play. As in the case of Job, Satan was standing before God and asked God what he intended to do to punish the church leader's dishonesty. Just wait and see what happens on the fifth hole. God smiled. The fifth hole was the most difficult on the course and often was responsible for destroying the hopes of a good golf score. So my question for you, what do you think happened on the fifth hole? If you know the answer, don't speak. What do you think happened?
He lost his ball.
Lost his ball, okay? What else do you think? Somebody else, another opinion. What do you think happened? What?
He got it in, but then he couldn't
tell anybody. What else? What other possibilities? Ever seen anybody bend a golf club? I mean, there's so many possibilities of what might happen. I'll finish the story later. You're going to have to wait. So our sermon series, like I said, is based on Hebrew 11, the Hall of Faith. We've been learning about these examples, and this verse about Isaac is Hebrews 11:20. Very interesting. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Does that line up with the story? What does that mean? This was a hard one for me. I had to spend a lot of time thinking about this one. So here's some questions I have. Can God's plan work out in spite of family dysfunction? Can God use flawed people? I hope so. Family dysfunction? Okay, Abraham, do you remember? You remember Abraham, those of you that have been listening to this series? Two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, remember? And there were all sorts of problems. You know, Ishmael gets sent away. You know, all the things that happened in that family and the stuff between Sarah and Ishmael's mother and Hagar and so forth. Now Isaac has two sons. Esau is his favorite. Rebecca's favorite is Jacob. She's a scheming wife. A little dysfunction there. Anybody else have dysfunction? You're going, no, Pastor. No, we're perfect. Right. I know Thanksgiving dinner's coming. I know the holidays are coming. And that's usually when dysfunction comes out. Big time. Just to be one of you, which I more than you know am, I've got dysfunction in my family. I've got three sons. Two of them kind of go this way. They want things to go a certain direction in life. The one wants to go this way. They clash. There's all this stuff that happens. I get caught in the middle. Sometimes I cause problems. Yeah, I do. Sometimes they cause problems. I mean, it's just been, we could be our own sitcom. My family, and I come from a family of dysfunction, okay? My mother's favorite was my brother, which caused all sorts of angst between my sister and myself with him and with her, right? My sister and brother are older than me. I was the youngest. They were like this. They were mean to me. They really were. My sister were here. She said, yep, we were really mean to her. Dysfunction abounds. It abounds in all families, so take hope with that. I'm sure we all can relate. If we don't have dysfunction in our family, well, we're blessed immensely. But I bet you we know someone who has a dysfunctional family. God does use dysfunctional people and dysfunctional families to shape people to be used for his purposes. That's hopeful. And flawed people, we're all perfect. Not. In Scripture, you can find so many lists of people you know, and what their flaws were and how God used them. Remember Gideon? Any of you remember Gideon? Gideon was the one that tested God, and God tells him he wants him to lead an army, and Gideon puts the fleece. Those of you that know a little bit about the Old Testament, put the fleece before God and tests him and tests him, and he's a wimp. He's a wimp, and he's full of fear, and yet God uses him to win incredible military victories. How about Moses? But Lord, I'm slow of speech. He was a stutterer, and he was supposed to go talk to Pharaoh, right? Oh, and did I tell you he also was a murderer? We kind of skip over that fact. Look who Moses was and what he did for God. Abraham, that we talked about, I didn't talk about this part of Abraham. He was a huge liar. Huge liar. And he was used. David was an adulterer. Rahab, in Scripture, she was a prostitute. God, yes, chose Jacob. He chose to use the trickster to continue the line of the covenant. He can use flawed people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what was Isaac's faith? He spoke the words that were prophetic in Jacob's life. This was the blessing that Ken shared with you. This is what he said to Jacob. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Those words were appropriate for the next generation of the family who would live out the covenant to be many nations. Isaac didn't try to take back the words. He trusted that God gave him the words to say to that son, even though he eventually knew he had been tricked. And honestly, does it make sense that this covenant of Abraham would be given to the son who tossed away his birthright for a bowl of stew? Could that son have carried through with what had to be done to establish the line? God knew what he was doing, and Isaac did bless Esau. He said, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Esau doesn't get the best of the best, but he does receive a blessing. And through Esau, a nation is established. It's the nation of Edom. It is an enemy, or it was an enemy country of Israel. It lasted until the 13th century. So Esau did live out that covenant, because remember, Abraham was to be the father of many nations. Isaac's faith is a faith that believes in the plan of God despite manipulation by the people. That's an important aspect of faith, wouldn't you agree? Because people do manipulate, people mess things up, but the plan of God will continue in spite of us. Don't forget the original prophecy that I read to you about the boys. Isaac's blessings fulfilled what Rebecca was told when those two boys were fighting in her belly. It brings into play exactly what God intended from before their birth. It's surprising to us, maybe, that God's will would have to go through somebody lying and tricking, but maybe it's even encouraging a little bit. God truly can use us and our circumstances no matter what. No matter what. Jacob, well, we'll talk more about him. We come back to this series after Christmas. We're going to take a break at this point. You have a guest preacher next Sunday as I'm back in the West. And then we come into Advent, that wonderful season of Advent. But when we come back to this series, we're going to talk about Jacob. And let's just say sin always has consequences. It's not easy what happens with Jacob. And there are things that Jacob learns and the choices that Jacob makes that we're going to learn some important lessons. You know, it's interesting. Rebecca thought that Esau would receive the blessing, that that's what was about to happen, and that then Jacob would be sent away. And that she didn't want him to go away. That was her boy. That was her favorite boy. When she tricks her husband and all of this happens, both boys get sent away for 20 years. So that gives you a little hint of consequences. Jacob, well, the blessing ends up being very mixed. He ends up being tricked over and over and over in his story. And we will come back to that. I guess I have to finish the story of the golfer. Can't leave you hanging on that one, right? So here we have this church leader out on that golf course. Church leader comes to the fifth hole. Robin, he doesn't just make it into the hole. He made a hole in one. He made a hole in one on the fifth hole of the course. And Satan is appalled. He says to God, "Why have you rewarded this church skipper with such incredible success? What are you thinking?" God replies, "Yeah, who's he going to tell? Sin always has consequence. Always. Would you please pray with me?" Lord God, thank you that you can redeem things that are done for the wrong reasons into your right plan. Lord, help us to be listening carefully for your direction, and Lord, to be mindful of the blessings that you have showered upon each one of us. We love you and we praise you and we seek to be faithful people. It's in your name we pray. Amen.